It's game 162 for the New York Mets and the Houston Colt 45s, the final game of the season. And the starting lineups for the game. For the Colt 45s, Glenn Vaughn will lead off and play shortstop. Batting second, playing second base, Joe Morgan. Batting third and left field, Jim Wynn. The fourth batter will be the first baseman, Rusty Staub. Batting fifth and playing third base, Bob Aspermonte. Batting sixth in center field, Ivan Morrell. Batting seventh, playing right field, John Pashorek. Batting eighth and catching, John Bateman. And on the mound for the Colt 45s, Chris Zachary. He'll bat ninth. For the New York Mets, Eddie Cranepool will lead off. He'll be in right field. Batting second and playing center field, Duke Carmel. Batting third at second base, Ron Hunt. Batting in the cleanup spot, playing first base, Tim Harkness. Batting fifth at third base, Jim Hickman. Batting sixth and playing left field, Joe Hicks. The seventh batter will be the catcher, Tutu Coleman. Batting eighth and playing shortstop, Al Moran. And on the mound, it will be Larry Bernard, batting ninth. The umpires now taking their respective positions. Paul Pryor behind home plate. Frank Sicori at first base. Frank Walsh at second base. And the third base umpire is Ken Burkhardt. Manager Casey Stengel now leaving the home plate area to go back to the first base dugout where the Mets are located. The Mets and Colts have played 17 games this year. The Mets have won 5. The Colts have won 12. Right here at Colt Stadium, the Colts have won 6 of the 8 games played so far. Now the Houston Colt 45s take the field. The Colt 45s have won one more game this year than they won all last year. A total of 65. They have lost 96. The Mets have a record this year of 51 wins, 110 losses, and the Mets have won 11 more games this year than they did all of the last season. This is the final game of the year, and now right-hander Chris Zachary steps out to the mound. He's all set to take his warm-up pitches. At first base, Rusty Staub. At second base, Joe Morgan. Glenn Vaughn at short. Third baseman, Bob Aspermonte. The catcher is John Bateman. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. Playing of our national anthem, the final game of the season is about to get underway. You know, I get asked a lot of questions about beer. And I guess the one question I get asked more frequently than any other is there really a difference in beers? Well, of course there is. You see, each brewer has certain ideas about brewing. Some brewers prefer one hop to another. Some prefer one type of barley malt to another. Take Rheingold. Gathered together at Rheingold Brewery is the largest staff of brewmasters in any major brewery, and they have very definite opinions as to how Rheingold should be brewed. They brew the extra dry way. That's why Rheingold tastes different from other beers. The extra dry way is long, slow, and costlier, but Rheingold's brewers felt this is the only way to brew beer as beer should taste. That's why Rheingold Extra Dry has a flavor that's brisk and bright and clean clear through. So, next time, enjoy a tall, cool, refreshing glass of Rheingold Extra Dry. And now for the last time this year, the New York Mets playing the Houston Colt 45s, and for the last time in baseball this year, once again, indeed, a great pleasure to bring to the microphone Lindsey Nelson.
Thank you very much, Ralph, and hello, everybody. Ed Cranepool is in, a left-hand batter. Chris Zachary into the windup here. It's the first pitch of the game, and it's in there for a call, strike one. Paul Pryor, the umpire behind the plate here this afternoon at Colt Stadium. Rod Caniel coaching at first base for the New York Mets, and Sally Hemus is on the coaching lines around at third. Again, the pitch, a breaking ball. It's low and inside. Runs the count even at 1-1 to Ed Cranepool. In the leadoff spot and playing right field this afternoon for the New York Mets. A beautiful baseball afternoon in Houston, Texas. Chris Zachary is 19 years of age in his first season of professional baseball, going after his third straight win here today. And this pitch is fired outside for a ball. It's 2-1. Zachary has made four appearances against the Mets this season with a combined record of 1 victory and no losses. He has pitched 9 3rd innings and allowed 3 earned runs on 9 hits. 2 walks and he struck out 6 against the Mets. And this pitch is low. The count goes to 3-1 against Ed Cranepool. And this is Chris Zachary's 7th start of the season. He was signed right out of Central High School in Knoxville, Tennessee. Put on the roster of the big club to protect him as a first-year player. And here is the 3-1 pitch. Swung on, hit on the ground to second base. It is Joe Morgan on a big hop playing to Rusty Staub at first, and there's one away. That will bring up Mets center fielder Duke Carmel. Carmel is batting .236. He has 4 home runs and 20 runs batted in. A native of New York City.
Number 1, center fielder Duke Carmel.
The Colt 45s have an infield of Rusty Staub at first, Joe Morgan at second, Glenn Vaughn at short, and Bob Aspromonte at third. A windup and the pitch. Breaking ball, it's in there for a called strike. Slow curveball. Ron Hunt has moved out to the on-deck circle now for the Mets. In this final three-game set, each team has won 1 of the previously played 2 games. Here's a swing and a miss on a breaking ball. It's a 2-strike count to Carmel. Wind blowing across here from left over toward right at Colt Stadium. Zachary gets the sign from Johnny Bateman. Here's a 2-strike delivery. Swung on and missed. Again, he let up on him with a breaking ball and got Carmel swinging. So there are 2 men out, nobody on base, and Ron Hunt is the batter. He's had a fine rookie season for the New York Mets. Coming in here to the final day of the year, he is batting .270. 10 home runs and 42 runs batted in. Impressive figures for a young man who previously had not played even in AAA baseball. Last year, he played in the Texas League at Austin, where he had only 2 home runs all season long. But in his first major league season, Ron Hunt has chipped in with 10 homers and 42 runs batted in. Here's a swing and a foul ball to the right side and out of play. It's strike one. Casey Stengel has said repeatedly that the performance of Ron Hunt is one of his most pleasant surprises of this baseball season. Here is a pitch that hits him on the left shoulder, and he goes on down to first. Ron Hunt, hard as nails, doesn't flinch. He doesn't rub it. He simply goes on down to first, throws the helmet over, and is on the bag at first. You know, there are a lot of ballplayers in the major leagues who would not rub the spot where they're hit by a pitch ball if they were in a state of near collapse. That's too much of a concession to the pitcher. Up there now is Tim Harkness, a left-hand batter, with a batting average of .210, 10 home runs and 41 runs batted in. Pitch is outside for ball. 1-0. Harkness feels that he did not really get himself untracked until fairly late in the season. He feels that the first several months were months of frustration for him this year in the National League. Then he was injured and he was hit on the hand by a ball thrown by the Houston Colt 45 pitcher, Turk Farrell. Here's a pitch high for a ball, 2-0. But then Harkness has come back and has, in the last month or so, stopped trying to pull everything and has been going with the pitch and has had a number of extra base hits to the opposite field. And figures very prominently in Met plans for the future. Tim Harkness. Here's 2-0 pitch. It's high. Bateman bluffs, does not throw to first. Ron Hunt back at the bag. So the count is 3 balls and no strikes with 2 men out and nobody on base. We're in the top half of the first inning. And the slot on the scorecard that says tomorrow's game is vacant today because there is no tomorrow as far as this season is concerned. Hunt takes his lead. The 3-0 pitch is in there for a called strike. Harkness took it. It's 3-1. Jim Hickman has moved out to the on-deck circle. Chris Zachary working off the stretch now as Hunt takes his lead. Rusty Staub is holding against him. 3-1 pitches high, walked him, and Harkness goes to first base. That's the first walk issued by Zachary.
Number 9, third baseman, Jim.
And that will bring
Hickman.
Up Jim Hickman. Dan Musial today, of course, is playing his last game, the last game of a tremendous baseball career in the National League. In his first time up in the first inning today, he was called out on strikes. In the fourth inning, he singled the center. We'll give you his final totals, his career totals, as soon as that game is over in St. Louis today. The last day of a great career. Jim Hickman is in and waiting. Runners lead first and second. The pitch is high for ball one. Jim Hickman is batting .229, but he has 17 home runs to lead the Mets in that department, and he has 51 runs batted in. Frank Thomas leads in runs batted in with 60. Hickman, of course, started the season as an outfielder and then moved into third base. 1-2 pitch swung on, fouled off. Joe Hicks has moved out to the on-deck circle now. Ron Hunt at second and Tim Harkness at first. Casey Stengel is still very high on the future of this young man in the National League, Jim Hickman. Zachary now up and checks. Here is the pitch and it's low for a ball. Johnny Bateman, the catcher, has called time and has gone out now to have a word with Chris Zachary. As Ralph kind of told you, it's a very comfortable afternoon here in Houston with the temperature 84 degrees at game time and the humidity 35% and a breeze blowing here at the ballpark. Now again, Zachary is set to work. Checks the runners. The 2-1 pitch swung on and missed. It's 2-2. Minnesota Twins scheduled at Yankee Stadium against the Yankees this afternoon, and that game has been postponed because of rain. Now again, Hickman waits. And the 2-2 pitch. It's a slow curveball. He checks and fouls it off. He let up a great deal on that one, and Hickman brought the batter on, just met it, and fouled it off. It's 2-2. Chris Zachary, of course, one of the young hopefuls on the pitching staff of the Houston Colt 45s. Colt 45s have two rookies in the lineup today making their first major league start. Ivan Morrell, John Pishorek. And here's a 2-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. He let up on a breaking ball, struck him out, and two strikeouts in the inning for Zachary. In the top half of the first, the Mets got no runs, no hits, there were no errors, and two left. Score at the end of a half inning is the Mets nothing, and the Colt 45 is coming up nothing. Well, how many of you fans remember this historic moment in baseball? On a spring evening of 1935, a button is pushed in the White House, and 500 miles away, Cincinnati's Crosley Field is flooded with light. The umpire yells, play ball, and the Major League's first night baseball game is underway. Baseball under the lights is only one of many exciting changes the big leagues have seen throughout the years. But while baseball has changed, Rheingold Extra Dry's great flavor has stayed the same for the past 126 years. How come? Because Rheingold still takes the same special care in brewing they began taking so many years ago. At Rheingold, they still use only the choicest ingredients, so that you get beer as beer should taste. Rheingold today still has only one way of brewing Rheingold Extra Dry, and that's the long, slow, costly way. The only way to get flavor that's brisk and bright and clean clear through.
a sparkling flavor you can enjoy right now. Just open up or order up a cool, refreshing Rheingold Extra Dry. For the Colt 45, shortstop Glenn Vaughn is at the plate, and Benari's first pitch is in there for a called strike. Vaughn is batting 179. He's been up 28 times and has five hits. He's a left-hand batter, Larry Benari, with the pitch it swung on and fouled off. A two-strike count to Glenn Vaughn. Larry Benari, who has been a fine performer, mostly in the bullpen for the Mets this year. He's won three and lost seven as far as the record is concerned. Here's a swing and a miss, and he gets a strikeout on the first man he faces. Vaughn is out swinging. One away, and that'll bring up Joe Morgan, the second baseman. Morgan is batting 261. He's been up 23 times and has six hits. Three runs
number
batted in. He also is a left-hand batter. He's in and waiting. We're in the bottom half of the first inning. Fires the fastball outside. He moved up as though to bunt. Joe Morgan is 20 years of age. He was signed as a free agent in 1962. Born in Texas at Bonham. Now he lives in the Bay Area of California at Oakland. He's 5'7 and 150 pounder. He split the 1963 season, his first between Modesto and Durham. And this one is fired in for a called strike. It's 1-1. One man out, nobody on base. And here's a swing, and it's popped up toward third base. Jim Hickman flips the glasses, comes in behind the mound, and makes the catch. So Joe Morgan has popped to third. There are two men out, and left fielder Jim Wynn is coming up. Jim Wynn is batting 243. He has four home runs and 26 runs batted in. The Colt 45s have not decided for sure whether Jim Wynn is an infielder or an outfielder. He was drafted out of the Cincinnati organization last year. Here's a fastball in for a called strike. And the Colt 45s brought him up this year and inserted him at shortstop, then moved him on to the outfield. Sidearm delivery, swung on it on the ground, foul back a third. Knocked down, slowed down by Hickman. Ken Burkhart starts after it and decides he won't, and now decides he will as Burkhart runs down the foul ball. The count is two strikes. This pitch is high off the top of the glove of Coleman and on back to the screen. It's 1-2. Twenty-two-year-old Larry Benari, 6'2", 203-pounder from Belmore, Long Island, New York. Alumnus of St. John's. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed. Struck him out. And so Larry Benari gets two strikeouts in the first inning as he sets the side down in order with no runs on no hits, no errors, none left. And the score at the end of an inning is the Mets nothing and the Houston Colt 45s nothing.